School boards around the country are finding themselves in the middle of controversy and sometimes heated debates. Among them are mask mandates and other COVID policies, race, and sexuality. Wisconsin is a big flashpoint for these conversations. For example, in Waukesha, the school district says it believes in diversity and individual differences, but the school board there has since banned certain classroom displays like Black Lives Matter posters or rainbow flags because they say they're political and encourage advocacy. Since the pandemic began, angry parents have shown up at school board meetings to express their displeasure with their kids' learning environments. Some ran for school board. Some won. In fact, Wisconsin's attempted more recalls of school board members during the pandemic than every other state except California. Around the country, thousands of school board seats will be up for grabs next month, and Wisconsin school board elections are held in spring. Meanwhile, some are worried that the conservative push is undoing some key supports for underrepresented students. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is the story in your community, in the schools around you? Do you generally think your local school board gets things right or wrong? Have you become more engaged with your kids' education during the pandemic? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Aaron Richards is a Milwaukee-based national education reporter at USA Today. Aaron, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thanks.
We see headlines about one school or another again and again. You've been following this issue closely, Aaron. How widespread are these flare-ups around school boards around the country?
Well, it's quite widespread because we've seen a lot of flare-ups politically around everything else tied to COVID as well, and schools are in the middle of that. So a lot of this were parents watching their kids at home on Zoom and knowing more about what their kids were learning or maybe not learning. School boards became the place where people could go and talk publicly about whether they felt that schools should be open or closed, if masks should be used or not. So many, the school board meetings were on Zoom for so much of the pandemic that it made it easier for people to just jump online and participate. And of course, those have escalated now. Many more meetings have been in person. The COVID rules have activated a number of parents. And then in the middle of all this, we started to hear more about critical race theory, which we can get into that a little bit more. It's a legal term to look at the influence of racism in society and embedded in institutions. And there's strong feelings on the conservative side that this isn't something that actually happens in real life. And they don't want K-12 schools to be teaching that. K-12 schools really don't teach that theory specifically, but they do and have been for years moving toward more practices that research and experts say are good to make kids feel included in schools. So that's where some of the push now with parents getting riled up about COVID protocols and then about critical race theory. And now some of these changes are happening because parents, many of them conservative, have run for the board, they've gotten on, and now they have power to make real changes. And it's you can make changes much faster at the local level in your school board than you sometimes can, at the state and certainly at the federal level.
Let's talk about critical race theory, the rise of this as a buzzword in these protests against schools. Is this something that spontaneously arose one district at a time, or was there a coordinated effort to bring this out as an issue?
We really saw this explode when a couple of conservative organizations and one guy in particular named Chris Rufo, who's now at the Manhattan Institute, started coming up with examples of what he thought was critical race theory happening in schools. And, there have been lots of news articles about the wrong way to teach about racism, for example, slave trade or recreations in school and whatnot. Those are not seen as good steps to teach kids how to understand race and racism in America. But really, the push started when this particular author, Chris Rufo, was coming up with examples of this and saying that this was embedded in all the institutions of the federal government. Fox News put a big spotlight on it near the end of Trump's presidency. And former President Donald Trump had basically said that all federal contractors were no longer required or could no longer be forced to do diversity and equity training, which is something pretty common in workplaces and in schools, has been for years. But that really kind of triggered the backlash. This was also coinciding with the backlash to the New York Times 1619 Project, which retold the history of America through the lens of slavery and its impact on American institutions. So this has really been snowballing, and then it's come together with all of these agitations around COVID protocols, which are also can be very politically polarizing, even though science is sort of getting lost in the middle sometimes. And so it's really kind of coalesced into real changes now, because you can get on your school board, you can run pretty easily, and you can make a lot of impact at your local level. And that's what a lot of these parents are doing now. And that there is a feeling on the right that their views are underrepresented in schools, and that schools shouldn't be discussing things like gender and sexuality and kind of recognizing that or celebrating it. And so it's become as much of a culture clash between different points of political view on this as it has about, you know, good teaching and learning and practices.
Talking to Aaron Richards, national education reporter for USA Today, looking at controversies facing school boards on issues of how race and American history should be taught over COVID, mask mandates, and more. Recalls going on here in Wisconsin, in school boards, elsewhere in the country as well. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you on a school board? What kind of things are you seeing? Is it getting heated from time to time? What do you think about the issues that are generating this controversy? How we teach about race, the mask mandates in schools, distance learning, and things like that. Do you think your local school board got it right or wrong, or as right as they could under the circumstances? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Aaron, recalls. We've got some coming up or efforts underway in Wisconsin. We see some elsewhere in the country. What kind of things are you seeing?
Right. Well, one of the biggest and most highly watched ones is a recall campaign in the Mequon-Thiensville School District, which, of course, is just north of Milwaukee. There are a number of suburban moms who have been activated by both the critical race theory debates and wanting to have more of a conservative representation on their board. And they've gathered enough signatures to force a recall election. Most school board elections are in the spring in Wisconsin. And these moms are very passionate about what they're doing. I went to one of their presentations in Milwaukee in September, and there is some misinformation about what they think is happening in their schools. I know that there's some talk about Mequon scores dropping for students. Mequon-Thiensville is still one of the highest performing school districts in the state. It's highly desirable to be in that district and to go to that high school. So I'm not clear on exactly what they hope would get a whole lot better in Mequon-Thiensville, but they've certainly activated a lot of their community members, and they feel like their voices need to be heard on the board. So it's very interesting, because it's very much a microcosm of Wisconsin's split politics. We are a swing state, and this is really playing out in these local school board elections. And it could be a harbinger. Maybe this is the moment where Republicans do have a lot more energy and can sort of win at these local levels and then take that energy to win statewide and national elections and midterms.
And at least some of these cases, including, I think, in Mequon-Thiensville, Republican political action committees are helping fund the recall efforts. And I believe yes. A Republican candidate for governor was recruiting some of those local candidates. Do I have that right?
Yes, there has been, of course, the interplay between the national political groups and the state political groups. The folks in Mequon do have help from some of the political operatives, which, of course, gives you a leg up in just running against your average parent. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that. Mm-hmm. It just means that there's more energy there than we've ever really seen before. Or lately in these, you know, otherwise fairly sleepy school board elections.
We're talking about how school boards around the country are dealing with controversial issues in recent weeks and months. Aaron Richards is with us, national education reporter for USA Today. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you paying attention to the school board in your community, maybe more so than you did in years past? Have there been heated, controversial moments, or are things working smoothly where you are? If you're on a school board, what are you seeing? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. The conversation continues. We'll hear from some of you coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about controversies facing school boards around the country, including here in Wisconsin, with decisions on masks, how to teach race and history, and more. Protests in some cases, recall elections in others. Aaron Richards is with us, national education reporter for USA Today, based in Milwaukee. Let's go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Laura is with us in Manitowoc. Laura, hi.
Hi, I'm calling in because I've been paying close attention to this in my community. I'm not on a school board, but I've been observing the meetings and seeing, you know, the anti-CRT signs pop up around town and seeing neighbors really being, turning against their own neighbors. And I just want to add to this conversation the fact that, you know, in these small communities, much of this hysteria over, you know, the anti-masking or the masking and the anti-CRT is coming from outside the community. And I'm not just talking about people from other communities, you know, coming in the night of the school board meeting and causing disruption, though that is indeed happening. But, for example, in Manitowoc, the local Republicans have been inviting this Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, which is the organization that dismantled the teachers union on behalf of Scott Walker. Those lawyers have been coming in, you know, they'll set up at a local hotel upon invitation by the local Republicans, and all the local Republicans will attend these meetings where these lawyers just really whip up the crowd, and they say the most outlandish things, and the people that are attending believe this. For example, at the last meeting, the attorney that was presenting said, you know, you need to stop these liberal teachers. He actually handed out a form that parents can use to hand out to the teachers, and this form is designed to intimidate the teachers, and what it asks is for the teacher to report back to the parent anytime they teach on any one of the catch terms, you know, equity or equality or anything like that, that the right has identified as CRT terminology. And the lawyer said, the reason you want the teachers to fill his paperwork out is so you can identify who the liberal teachers are and stop them, because they are injecting young girls with testosterone and forcing young girls to have abortions. He said that literally in those words. So,
Laura, thanks for the call. So Laura is seeing this. Aaron, are we seeing this kind of coordinated effort? I don't know about the specific claim toward the end there, but is this something that is happening in a lot of communities?
We have seen a number of high-powered conservative organizations guide parents on this topic. The Heritage Foundation, for example, has a toolkit to be a woke parent, but it's kind of in quotes. And it's, you know, it's a how to file records requests and how to ask if your school is teaching CRT. To the caller's point about the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, Will is located in Milwaukee. They're funded by the Bradley Foundation, and they have a very conservative viewpoint, and they exist to essentially file and fight lawsuits that are in the conservative causes. So that's why they're very keyed into this right now. And it is effective. I don't know if there's an equivalent liberal law team that's quite as prevalent as they are, but they've been around for a long time. They file a lot of lawsuits around schools issues and school choice issues. So in broad strokes, though, there is a lot of coordination both between state organizations like this that are conservative and the national conservative organizations, in part because there's a lot of emotion here, and there's a lot, there's probably voters that may be on the fence that would be compelled to agree with the Republicans on this. So there is a lot of strategy and coordination. Nothing illegal about it, but some of the messaging is not always accurate either.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Christopher now in Kenosha. Christopher, hi.
Hello. I just had a question about critical race theory and teaching it in schools, and how I think it should be a requirement, and how I don't really understand why it's opposed so much. Humans have evolved to recognize patterns and make predictions, and if we just turn a blind eye as to what the circumstances are that have produced you know, these underprivileged neighborhoods that are, you know, have high concentrations of minorities due to redlining and other systemic issues, and just leave it up to people to, you know, come to their own conclusions, they're going to find a pattern, and that pattern is going to be minority or black person or violence, so forth.
Christopher, I gotcha. Thanks for the call. A little hard to make it out, Aaron, but Christopher, talking about how to teach about these issues, you did a whole piece actually on how schools typically try to, and the recommendations for how to teach about historical issues of racial inequality, like redlining, as our caller mentioned. What kind of things did you hear from experts?
Right. So they actually say that good teaching about racism and racism in the United States does include voices from people who were enslaved and voices from people who are not just the white majority. That is part of what's driving some of the controversy, is that many conservatives or people who liked the traditional text feel like the white narrative is being crowded out a bit by more diverse voices. There's lots of people that say that's a good thing, including education researchers, because we're always learning more about history and we're always trying to gather more information from different sides about how it felt and how it played out for different types of people. And to the caller's point too about making critical race theory a requirement, there is a number of people on the left that think that there should be a bigger pushback to this, to say, yes, like we do have racism embedded in institutions. Now, again, many conservatives don't believe that. They believe that racism exists, but not that it's embedded in an institution in a baked in way. We did some polling at USA Today this fall, back to school polling. And what was interesting is that 2 out of 3 parents overall actually believe that schools should teach the ongoing effects of racism in America, the ongoing effects of slavery, what's still lingering from that time that affects society today. That's really what critical race theory is. But if you ask parents, well, do you think it's okay to teach about critical race theory? Then it drops down to about 50% of parents. So some of this is just the messaging around this, that term has a lot of kind of negative overtones to it. So it tends to get people riled up. But most parents in our polling believe that we should be talking about the ongoing effects of slavery. And we've certainly done lots of stories that, you know, our paper and others that say, you know, the black family that tries to sell their house and their photos are, you know, of their family, they get a much lower offer, much lower appraisal price than when they took all their neighbors' family photos, and their neighbors are white, they hang those up instead, and then they get a much higher offer. So again, to the caller's point, research is pretty strong that people do have some individual biases, but there is a lot of resistance on the right to the assertion that, you know, we are inherently a racist society.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Aaron Richards, education reporter for USA Today, about controversies facing school boards. Back to your calls now. Scott is with us in Menominee. Scott, hi.
Hey, no, I was just going to make a point. I think previous callers kind of hit on a lot of things. But then here out in Menominee, we had a controversy with the book that was discussed in one of the schools was I Am Malala. And, of course, you know, that includes somebody that was, I think, Malala or was a Muslim. And that got quite a lot of attention from the local, you know, Republicans, basically. But, yeah, the coordination, I do have a lot of concern that, it's kind of scary, because it doesn't seem like it's just a general grassroots thing. When you got people with yard signs under their Trump signs, they've got their unmask their our kids signs and such things as that going on.
Scott, thanks for the call. He mentioned a Malala book. Aaron, anecdotally, I've seen children's books about Rosa Parks or Martin Luther King blocked at least temporarily from schools. Children's book authors' speeches canceled. A principal fired in Texas, I think it was, over accusations that he had violated the state's guidelines on teaching about race. Are we seeing this affect what and who kids see in their schools?
Right. And to this point, too, there's been a big resurgence in book banning and parents kind of looking at some of the literature in their kids' libraries or the school libraries and thinking that they're too explicit. This often happens around books that have themes of queerness or gay and lesbian themes. There are some heated feelings about that. But in other cases, it does seem like it's gotten a little bit out of hand. There was a school board in Central York up in Pennsylvania that had banned a list of books by Black authors and other minority voices and other resources. For a year, students weren't supposed to be using these resources. And I think one of them included the book Hidden Figures, which was a very popular movie about women that contributed essentially to the space race, whose narratives hadn't been told. And so I think that there's a lot of, again, there's lots of organizing around parent Facebook groups for this, conservative parent groups. I interviewed a guy for this last story who said, look, a lot of this is coming out of QAnon chat rooms, because QAnon has now become much more mainstream. It's kind of become part of the conservative ideology. And so a lot of these ideas are shared quickly, and we're seeing these same things in school boards around the country, because there's a lot more coordination and talking online. Many of us aren't completely back to our full outside the house lives yet. So there's been plenty of time for people to kind of, read about what's happening elsewhere and follow the same pattern in their local school district.
In just our last half a minute or so, Aaron, what are you watching for next on this story you've been following so closely?
Yeah, I'm doing a follow-up piece that tries to highlight kid voices about what, for example, taking down signage in the classroom that's inclusive. What does that mean? What does that mean for you and your learning experience? Does that change the teachers you approach? Does it make you feel less safe in school? Really trying to highlight those, because I think what's really been lost in this entire debate is how kids feel. And some of the testimony at school board meetings that comes from middle school and high school students is very compelling. And I think that we need to all be listening a little bit more to them sometimes and not get quite as wrapped up in some of our adult political battles.
Aaron, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Aaron Richards is a national education reporter for USA Today based in Milwaukee. We talked to her about the many controversies facing school boards in Wisconsin and around the country, including mask mandates and other COVID measures, sexuality, and the teaching of race and history.